Let's read together Psalm 45. This psalm is a royal wedding psalm with a beautiful description of the king and his bride. It is a messianic psalm because it is quoted in the New Testament in reference to Christ. Psalm 45, beginning with verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions, will follow her, shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Let's begin our study of Psalm 45 with some background notes. Here we have another psalm of the sons of Korah, probably meaning that the sons of Korah, as a choir guild, put this psalm to music, and maybe on the occasion of the royal wedding that is in view in this psalm. Notice from the title that it is a love song, and the word Shoshanim means lilies, probably indicating a wedding tune. In this psalm, the king is first described and praised in verses 1 through 9. Then the bride is addressed and described in verses 10 through 15. And then there is a benediction in verses 16 and 17, the closing verses of the psalm. We know that this psalm is a messianic psalm because verses 6 and 7 are quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and applied to Christ. The ancient Targum, or Aramaic paraphrase of this psalm, paraphrases verse 2 as follows. Thy beauty, O King Messiah, is greater than that of the sons of men. So even the ancient Jewish scholars considered Psalm 45 as messianic. Psalm 45 is a typical messianic psalm. That is, it refers to an historical wedding of one of the kings of Israel, but looks on to Israel's greater king and Messiah to come in the future, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for this psalm. Doctrinal point number one. The first and second advents of Christ are included in Psalm 45. The first and second advents of Christ are included in Psalm 45. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist praises his king as the greatest of all men. God's grace and blessing were poured out upon him. Verses 1 and 2 once again. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. What a wonderful description of not only this king of Israel, maybe Solomon, but of the Lord Jesus at his first coming. Remember the Father's statement from heaven at our Lord's baptism? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 4:17. And remember what we read concerning the people of Nazareth. Quote, they marveled at the gracious words which were falling from Jesus' lips. End of quote. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. Now in verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 45, the second coming of Christ is in view. Let's read those verses once again. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Here we see the Lord returning in splendor and majesty, but also in judgment, as Scripture makes clear. Read the similar description of our Lord's return in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. So the first and second advents of Christ are included in Psalm 45. Doctrinal point number two, the humanity and deity of Christ are included in Psalm 45. The humanity and deity of Christ are included in Psalm 45. Verses 6 and 7 once again. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. In verse 6, the king is addressed as God, and yet in verse 7, the king is a man blessed by God. Now, how is that to be explained? In the historical context, the king, who was greatly blessed of God, was looked on as God's representative, especially in a theocracy like Israel. The king was seen as standing in the place of God with direct authority from God. But in the larger context, these verses refer to Christ because they are quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 in reference to Christ. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, quoted from Psalm 45. So we see both the humanity and deity of Christ in these verses in Psalm 45. His deity is seen in verse 6, where he is addressed as God. His humanity is seen in verse 7, where he is distinguished from God and blessed by God. He was the perfect man. The Lord Jesus is both God and man, fully God and fully man. The humanity and deity of Christ are included in Psalm 45. And doctrinal point number three, the bride and redeemed of Christ are included in Psalm 45. The bride and redeemed of Christ are included in Psalm 45. In verses 8 and 9, the elegance and beauty of the wedding ceremony are in view. The fragrance of the king's garments, the palace decorated with expensive ivory, the music and all the bridesmaids, and of course the bride, who would now be queen. Let's read those verses once again, verses 8 and 9. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Now, since Psalm 45 is a typical messianic psalm, as we've seen, who do the queen and all these royal attendants represent? Well, certainly a good case can be made for the bride representing the church. The New Testament clearly teaches that the church is the bride of Christ, and there will be a coming marriage supper of the Lamb that we read of in Revelation chapter 19. The advice to the bride in verses 10 and 11 to be totally committed to her king as Lord remind us of the words of our Lord in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. And the blessing and gifts of verse 12 of Psalm 45. Remind us of our favored position both now and in the future, when we will reign with Christ in his millennial kingdom on this earth. The glorious description of the bride in verses 13 through 15 remind us of our perfected condition at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's read verses 13 through 15 once again of Psalm 45. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Now listen to the similar words in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, about the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. From Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Now, if the bride of the king in Psalm 45 is the church, then the royal attendants of verse 9 and verse 14 represent all the rest of the redeemed who will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Old Testament saints, and the martyred saints of the tribulation period. These are the invited guests of Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. In verses 16 and 17, a benediction is pronounced upon the king and his kingdom. Now, it's easy to see all the redeemed included in this benediction as the sons and princes of the king. Eternity comes into view at the end of the psalm as the redeemed give thanks and praise to the Lord forever and ever. The bride and redeemed of Christ are included in Psalm 45. Practical application from Psalm 45. If your tongue was a pen, what would it write? If your tongue was a pen, what would it write? I think we all know the answer to that question. Our tongues as pens would write exactly what we speak. Now, would you like to have all that you speak in a book for all to read? I don't think so. Now look again at verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. If our hearts are overflowing with a good theme, that is praise to the Lord for who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do for us and for the world, then our tongues would reflect these wonderful thoughts. And if your tongue was a transcriber with pen, you would become the author of many books, bringing praise to the Lord. So this question is more than just academic and could be stated as follows. Since your tongue is a pen, what is it writing?